Every great movie started with a great screenplay. A local screenwriting workshop hopes to illuminate some of the elements of good screenwriting and demystify the process while building a support community for writers. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Austin Savage is a writer, actor, and filmmaker who originated and has led a weekly workshop for screenwriters for the last 10 weeks. The group meets at Glassbox in central El Paso, and I'm delighted to have Austin back on the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you. It's been a while since you were in, but I know you've been busy. You've been leading this screenwriting workshop for a while now. When you got that started, what were you hoping to accomplish?
To do exactly what you said in the intro, to like demystify writing. I'm a huge believer in the concept of process, that if your process is solid, then the product will take care of itself. Try to carry that through in just about every facet, whether I'm acting, writing, directing. And one of the things I wanted to do was create an environment where people could focus on the process, because just so much of writing, I guess, or at least the scripts I was receiving, you get the end result, and then you try to give notes, but they're already 3 weeks out from shooting, and so there was only
a little late, right?
So much you could do, and I thought it was just frustrating and kind of flat out. It was a horrid process that I thought was leading to inferior products,
right?
And so the idea was to create an environment where people could create good stories with nothing but the focus on the story making. Not even the stories themselves, but just how we go about it. And so that's what we do. And I've always been in love and fascinated by writers' rooms, you know. I have friends who write professionally at a very high level, you know, for very successful television shows and things like that. And one of the things they talk about is, I know it seems weird, but like the nurturing nature of the writer's room.
Right, which is counterintuitive to what we think goes on in there.
Right, yeah. Well,
it's more gladiatorial.
Yeah, well, the way they explain it is like everything outside that room is demanding and brutal and the time pressures. And they may yell and scream at each other, but everyone in that room wants the same thing.
Yeah. The best screenplay they can come up with.
Right, you know. And I just thought that was absolutely fantastic, especially, you know, I've always, like, for example, like the old Sid Caesar show, you know, where, like, at a certain point in that room, like, Woody Allen and Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner.
Can you imagine?
We're all there together. And I think Neil Simon was part of that,
right.
You know. Yeah, and that's totally amazing to me. And I wanted to create an environment like that. And there's a lot of local writers I've always liked who I put in. Because I worked in Washington, D.C. I worked in Chicago, and then I came back to El Paso. And my big thinking is this, is that El Paso is no different than any other city in terms of, like, talent and ability and all that stuff. You know, I was in Chicago, I was in D.C., and there's about 10% of the theater and local films that I saw were really good. 10% were just absolutely terrible, and there's about 80% that's somewhere in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think El Paso is all that different either. In fact, I actually think the percentage is a little higher in El Paso because I think major cities attract everybody. So
it's interesting, too. I think particularly in our film community, as I've gotten to know a lot of filmmakers here and writers, that, you know, we still have this notion of the filmmaker or writer as this solitary person that is slaving away at their you know, keyboard at 2 a.m., but you're really trying to adjust that mentality and create a community of support.
Exactly. Like what I was just talking about, you know, I think there's a tremendous amount of talent here. And the reason why it manifests itself in larger cities is just through sheer volume. 10% of 9 million people is going to pay off at a certain point.
Right.
You know? But if El Paso can collectivize its 10%, then I think it pays off better. And one of the easiest ways of doing that is to collectivized writing talent. And you're absolutely right. The idea of the solitary figure, you know, and it goes back to the romantic notion of the auteur.
Yeah.
Which, to tell the truth, I'm not a huge fan of too many auteurs. Maybe Jim Jarmusch.
You know, of all of the artists that contribute to a film, the screenwriter is one of the few that can still somewhat be solitary.
Right.
At some point, somebody has to have the spark of the story and have the discipline to put it on a page.
Right.
And everything else, you know, springs from that. But it's as you're pointing out with your group and your experience, it's so important to not be solitary in your world that you have to have the support of other writers, and you actually get energy
inspiration
from that.
Oh,
and inspiration.
Yeah, inspiration, and we do various exercises, and I agree with you. And it's one thing we discuss fairly frequently is the concept that a script is not a complete work.
Right.
And
is that hard for people to accept when they just start writing?
It's one of those things where –
that they want to put everything on the page and they want to act as director also.
Yeah. The concept of you know, when people are writing actions or, you know, those kind of things, like, okay. I mean, they control
– camera angles.
Yeah. And they control every wink and movement and
– right. There's no room for the actor
to
nothing, add anything.
There's endless parentheticals on how the line should be delivered. You know, that kind of stuff.
So do you find you have to strip a lot of habits out when you start working with writers?
I think what happens is we'll make that point the first time about excessive parentheticals and total control. But mostly when we read it and we're there and it took us like 20 minutes to get through three pages, I think people realize maybe this is a little kind of control freaky.
Or do you say, you know, maybe you should write a novel about this?
Yeah. Well,
and not a screenplay.
That's those things too. Is there are pieces that we realize were more appropriate for other mediums, and it's taking advantage of the medium. Film does things very specifically, and does, you know, certain things very well. Stage plays do other ones, and you know, and we'll talk. We'll actually discuss. Maybe this functions better as a short story, or maybe this functions better. And we have no problem with that. Like, you know, we've had plays develop and pilots come together and things like that. And again, it boils back down to, again, the idea that a script is essentially still a collaborative effort. You know, and those excessive parentheticals, what they're doing is they're removing the sense of collaboration from the performer and from the director and from the DP. And what you got to do is you got to trust that the people who are taking it out of your hands are going to be better at their job than you are at their job. And that's a terrifying thing for a lot of people, which, again, leads to the auteur concept. So many people, they want a Robert Rodriguez or Tarantino. They want to, you know, write, shoot, and edit their own pictures and occasionally cast themselves in it too. And you got to trust people at a certain point to make great work, I believe.
Well, that is the misnomer in film is, you know, I think it was Orson Welles that said, you know, a painter needs a brush and a poet needs a pen, but a director needs an army.
Right.
So it is the most collaborative art I can think of. I wanted to ask you, you meet at Glassbox, which is this great artist collective and space for a lot of different types of artists. It's at 210 Poplar Street in central El Paso. When do you meet?
We meet Wednesdays at 7.
And anyone is welcome to
it's
these?
It's absolutely open to the public.
Even though you've been doing it for 10 weeks, anybody can jump in, jump out?
Yeah, we've had some people hop in. In fact, we've had some recent show-ups. And it's pretty much catch as catch can at this point. I don't think it takes too much for people to figure it out. And what we will do is if we reference something that they're not particularly familiar with, then we'll stop and rehash for a little bit and then we'll move on. And what we were thinking about doing is, you know, every 3 months having another big grand kind of workshop.
Reset.
Where we reset and reintroduce new people, and for ourselves we go back over the basic things, you know. We use certain techniques or you know, references. Joseph Campbell's obviously big for us. Dan Harmon is a huge influence.
Writer of Community.
Absolutely. And he's got an absolutely wonderful site that he started years ago. It's an online television channel, 5-minute TV show. It's called channel101.com. Well, one of the things I enjoy about channel101.com is there's resources there for writers, complete with like story wheels and arcs and explanations of how to assemble plots. And you do all that stuff online and explains it. And I think he does a fascinating job of doing that.
It's interesting. When I go out to L.A., there's several bookstores there that are all film books, and I always love going in. And there's always a huge section on how to write a screenplay. It's like every author has their formula for if you just follow this one book, you'll be a successful screenwriter.
And I mean, yeah, even Charlie Kaufman had to follow somebody in adaptation, right?
Right, right. Another great screenwriter. I'm wondering if that's a block, though, to great screenwriting, is this notion that there is some – if you can just find the secret formula and plug your ideas in, then it almost writes itself.
You know, one of the jokes I made is when I started in actually theater is I read a book on directing, so that made me a director, you know.
Right.
And the way I look at it is there's no problem with expanding your knowledge and understanding structure and all that. But it goes back to the old Miles Davis thing. You know, you got to learn the rules before you're going to break them. And understanding is key. And these film writing gurus or these books that everyone throws out there, you know, the more you read, I don't know if that hurts. And I don't even – I don't think it stifles creativity so long as you understand exactly what it is. One of the analogies I use is Lionel Messi, the absolutely brilliant soccer player, is only brilliant because he's got the lines to constrict what he can do.
Hmm.
You know? If there's
just
open spaces, then nothing special about it.
Just be rutting in every direction.
Right. But his ability to do what he does within confinement is masterful.
Well, that's a great way of diagramming that for a writer. So you have to set your own boundaries, set those rules up, and then chart your own course within it.
Well, yeah. Well, the other day a guy wrote an absolutely bizarre and brilliant piece. I mean, it's complete with a very obvious Deus Ex Machina-type system where a monster arbitrarily shows up at the end and starts conversing with his characters and gives them a valuable life lesson and saves their relationship. And it's completely absurd and completely silly, but he was very aware of what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a deconstruction on what would typically be considered bad writing. And it's just epically funny, you know. And he doesn't do that unless he's aware of what he's doing.
So is part of what you're doing in these workshops not just talking about the narrative form and the differences between screenplay and novels and plays and the medium, but also taking these workshop members' work and breaking them apart?
All the time.
Is that a difficult
thing
to do? Or you really have to be open to that sort of intimacy and allow for critique?
We're getting better at it. One of the great policies – I mean, we have a certain sequence. First, you express things that you specifically enjoyed. And we try to be as specific as possible. In all ways.
The sugar before the
bitter. Yeah, well, I mean, like, I liked it is not criticism.
Right.
You know.
Why did you like
it? Yeah, I enjoyed this sequence where that dialogue flowed and I thought the introduction, that kind of stuff. That's why we create a common language so we can intelligently feedback as opposed to it was funny or something along those lines.
Right.
One thing we try to avoid is the phrase of I would. Typically the way I say it was you want to write a different screenplay, then go write a different screenplay. Go write your own. Because I would is not necessarily constructive. We're starting to get a little prescriptive sometimes, but I think at this point we're familiar. And some of the writers are open to suggestions. But even the phrase I would has gone away. People get clever and say things like, you should think about.
They'll work around. They're writers, right? They're
right.
Creative at their language.
But that is our response. And I think just even carrying that mentality helps because now they're not trying to rewrite someone else's work in their fashion. But what they're doing is they're trying to stay within the universe of this person's work and they've seen a possibility that the writer didn't see. You know, again, we have a commonality of language. We talk about that a lot. One of the things that I think makes effective writing is once you establish a universe, you have to operate within that universe. You mm-hmm. can't violate the rules of your own universe.
You claim foul when someone feels like they moved out of their
you
character or their universe.
And I think that's when the other people at the table know something's wrong too. And you'll hear things like that person would not say that.
Which I guess is a type of compliment because you've already defined a character well enough that you know when they're being pushed outside of what would be natural for them.
I absolutely. You know when something is great, when whatever slight flaws there may be are obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I did script analysis for years and years and years, and I've seen tons of plays and short films and whatever. And the terrible stuff is the stuff that you can't respond to.
Right. There's no framework to.
Yeah, there's no reference point. Yeah, you nailed it. It's just – it exists. That's about the one thing you could say about it, and then you kind of move on from that.
Right.
Or, Or you, if, hopefully it's not a friend, because then you're not stuck with the dreaded
friend-ending conversation.
Yeah, yeah, you know. I hope that was a learning experience.
Well, are there, you know, obviously most, if not all, of the hurdles that screenwriters and filmmakers have to get over even today have been faced by every other screenwriter in history and filmmaker and solved to a certain degree. Do you study certain filmmakers, certain screenplays for great films to say, you know, look how this person resolved that issue?
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously there's certain masterpieces. The Chinatown script is legendary, and that's always fun to read. And I was recently commissioned to write an animated Western and started reading and watching a lot of Westerns. But in all honesty, I went and got a copy of The Incredibles.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely adore The Incredibles.
That's a great film and a great script.
And I'm a huge Brad Bird fan.
Yeah.
You know? Like anything I try to do, I think, again, I was talking about process, and I think your process has to be adaptable. So it depends on the particular project or where I'm at in my life, or, you know, where I'm at with a particular project. But, yeah, I think you can always learn from somebody. And one thing, I find fascinating is a lot of my friends, again, are extremely successful writers. And one of them just gave a commencement speech. He just won a MacArthur Genius Grant. He gave a commencement speech the other day. And you know, and in the commencement speech he delivered, he talked about that. He goes, the only reason I've succeeded is because I was willing to fail dozens of times.
Right.
You know, and this is one of the best writers in the world.
And that's part of the discipline, right, is that you just write and write and write.
I agree. You know, and sometimes, again, talking about the local film community, a guy knocks out their first or second script and they're shooting that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of stuff where, like, situation I was talking about, where you're shooting this thing in 2 weeks. And yeah. And I said, well, I'm glad you have access to a camera and your enthusiasm is really great.
So your suggestion would be to write it 10 more times?
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and part of why, you know, I wanted to form the group was to, as I was talking about collectivizing talent, is to have people who do this and to have pre-existing material. And so because someone has a camera and an urge to make a movie, they can contact us or come and join us, you know, and hopefully that helps them develop their own material. If not, they can just take a look at one of the things that we have pre-existing and say, holy crap, this thing speaks to me, and I don't have to spend the next 2 months ripping my own hair out. Someone already did it for me. You know, someone already did it, and I get the benefit of having it completed.
It's a great idea to leverage that talent and those screenplays that are coming out of this workshop into the broader film community and see what happens. I love that.
Yeah, you know, and it just makes sense. You can always tell when someone put their cousin in their film, and then, you know, right. And then eventually what happened is they found an actor, you know, and so they started putting actors in their movies, and then the next logical step makes sense to put writers in the beginning,
right.
You know.
Well, it's amazing what you've started here, and I can't thank you enough, Austin, for coming in and talking about it.
No
You're a
problem.
Passionate guy about writing, and it comes through in everything you say. So I'm really excited to see where this group goes, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My guest today has been Austin Savage, writer, actor, and filmmaker, who's been facilitating and leading an ongoing workshop for screenwriters. The group meets weekly on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. at Glassbox, located at 210 Poplar Street in Central El Paso. Anyone interested in writing is welcome, and there is a suggested $10 donation per workshop. For more information on the screenwriting workshop, you can contact Austin Savage at 412-5283. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.